In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. And welcome to all of those joining us, both to mourn our loss and to celebrate this life of Paul that has been given to us for us to cherish and always remember. When I think of Paul, two things jump into my mind faster than perhaps others. I suspect we all have things that jump into our minds first. For me, there are two things that jump ahead of the line. The first was his room-lighting smile. So full, so bright. His smile has a joy to it that runs all the way to the deepest places of my heart. Paul's smile made you feel like he was more glad to see you than anything else that happened to him that day. And that smile was genuine. You knew he really was glad to see you. The second quality that moves to the front of the line for me is Paul's generous spirit of loving kindness and thoughtfulness. And he showed that in so many tangible ways, hands-on ways. I'm sure each of you experienced Paul's generous kindness and his generous thoughtfulness in ways unique to you. For me, the first thing that jumps to my head with his generous kindness is this. Every time I would pay a visit to Paul and Jane, Paul would present me with a box of single-serving pudding cups. Sometimes chocolate, sometimes vanilla, most often chocolate vanilla swirl. Every time, every visit, no matter the reason, there was always a box of single serving pudding cups. And they were presented with instructions that I take the package home to my kids. Of course, the kids loved them. Later, they'd see Paul in church and say, that's the man in his spot that gives us the pudding, right? And they'd go up and thank him. There was a connection made between generations through a simple, repeating act of generous, loving kindness. And it stuck. Our kids still remember that. Now, naturally, time marches on. Kids grow up. We became empty nesters. Still, the box of pudding cups came with every visit. And did I mention that it was chocolate vanilla swirl? Of course, with no kids at home to give them to, it fell to me to take one for the team. But really, this was one small and yet meaningful way Paul invested his heart in the people around him. Loving kindness showed in the way that he tended to his farm, the way he tended to his animals, to his seed business. Even the machinery, there was a certain dedication and reverence in the way he attended to it. And most importantly, all the people that those businesses brought him into contact with. It showed up in time eagerly given to Lyle and to Lane in everything from tractor rides to sporting events to pedal poles. And in addition to the time shared, there was a spark and enthusiasm behind it. You should have heard the way his eyes lit up when he talked about you. You weren't there, but we all saw and heard it. There's living just down the road from Sun Tim, and all the extra time to treasure between both having business time and family time shared together. You know, maybe sometimes it was rough, maybe sometimes it was beautiful, maybe it was a blend of both. That's kind of how life is. But it was genuine, and there was always love in it. And of course, the 67-year enduring partnership with the love of his life, Jane. I assume you see a lot in 67 years of marriage. Plenty of good years, possibly a couple of lean years in the mix. But the dedication and the love and the faith ran through all of it, always. And what I've mentioned are just snippets of the Paul we know and love, a man known as husband, as dad, as grandfather, as cousin, as neighbor, as friend, and a man known to God as beloved child. And as we all know, as Paul came down the home stretch, a lot of who we knew as Paul got covered up. Covered by what we might call our mortal nature, or more plainly, by declining cognitive health. Notice I did not say that who we know as Paul was lost. I use the term covered. As a child of God, everything good, everything beautiful, everything wonderful, everything perfect about Paul, none of it is lost. That is God's promise to us. Everything good and perfect and noble and beautiful is preserved, and not only preserved, but in the age to come, transfigured and glorified. A few minutes ago, we sang a hymn referencing the ancient Israelites crossing the Red Sea under the leadership of Moses. Maybe you remember the story, maybe you've seen the movie. The words go, "When Israel passed on foot over the sea as if it was dry land, they looked back and saw Pharaoh and his host drowning in the sea, and they cried out to God a song of victory." Israel passed on foot over the sea, looked back and saw Pharaoh's armies drowning in the sea, and cried out a song of victory. And we don't sing this song, this hymn, at a funeral just as a religious history lesson. We sing it because it means something to us today, to all of us. It means something profound for Paul's life. It's a song about being freed from oppression and about seeing your oppressors destroyed. Now, for the Israelites, they had been enslaved by a succession of pharaohs for some 400 years. While they were suffering oppression, you can bet they were not free to truly be themselves. The genuine nature of the people of God was covered by brutal conditions. Their deeper nature was covered. But as history demonstrated, it was never lost. It was never lost. Because when the oppressor's army was destroyed in the sea, the people of God were free to let that true and deeper nature shine once again. And likewise, when we in this world fall victim to an oppressive disease of any kind, physical, emotional, mental, cognitive, the real us is not lost. It's just covered. And just as God came to the Israelites to lead them out of captivity, Jesus Christ comes into the world to free us from everything that oppresses us. From sin, from sickness, from pain, from heartache, even from death itself. It's what we're celebrating this very season of our Lord's Nativity, is it not? God coming into the world. That's why we have this season. That's why the tree, the lights, God coming into the world, God with us, the child of Bethlehem, God in the flesh, coming to free us from the things that oppress us. That's what it's about. That's what it's about, because God has infinite, boundless love for each person. And even in the face of disease, even looking here at the reality of death, all is not lost. All is not lost. In Jesus Christ, nothing good is ever lost forever. The good in Paul, the things we love and remember most in him, may have been covered for a while. And in death, they may be covered for some time to come. But they are not lost. God will restore and resurrect and glorify. Because death for us is not the end, but a passage to freedom, a passage to the promised land, a passage to a kingdom to come, a passage to eternal life. And for us here today, grieving Paul's departure, while we hold grief in one hand, we hold hope in the other. Both can be held at the same time, grief and hope. You know, Paul is not only a man of creation, he's a man of God. He's a child of God, and he's a man of God. And in the kingdom Paul now enters, where all sickness and sorrow have fled away, and peace reigns. Everything that made Paul Paul is not only restored, but is being glorified. A 67-year marriage glorified. A father-son relationship transfigured. A grandfather-grandson relationship made new and wonderful. And his relationships with neighbors, with animals, even with the earth itself, all restored and made new. And to all the children in the kingdom of heaven, I'm sure the boxes of pudding cups are even now being distributed. And every soul he now greets will be on the receiving end of Paul's room lighting, or shall I say, kingdom lighting, smile. Amen.